Father, as we come around your word today, I pray you help me to say what I know it is you've already put in my heart to say, but help me say it right. Help us, Lord, to hear it, receive it. And Lord, most of all, I pray more than anything else that people will meet you through this message and through this service as their Lord and Savior in each and every one of our campuses. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Give someone a high five as you're being seated. Well, I started the series two Sundays ago, and I called it, It's a Party, and You're Invited. And last Sunday, I was scheduled to fly back. I was speaking at a conference in Hawaii, and then I found out Lisa Young would be visiting us last Sunday, and we asked her, would she be willing and obedient to speak for us last Sunday morning? Because if you got Lisa Young in the house, you don't pass that opportunity by. So when Lisa said yes, I just wanted a little confession in the spirit of full disclosure. When she said yes, and I was in Hawaii, and I knew she would speak for us, I just want you to know that your pastor last Sunday sat on a beach in Hawaii Sunday morning. And it's the first time I've ever done that in 34 years. But I tell you, it was fun. I prayed for you and prayed for great service. I heard they were great. Is that right? And then from there, flew to New York, met with Sharon, part of the ILM, with executive directors there, planning next year's getaway. It was awesome. But it's good to be back. But I need to remind you what I talked about, because I'm sure after 2 weeks ago, I barely remembered myself. Praise the Lord. So here's what we talked about. It's a party, and you're invited. You see, the kingdom of God, listen to this, I believe is meant to be understood as being something of a celebration. It's meant to be something that's meant to be a party. I think boring churches should be banned. I think boring Christians should be banned. Jesus, the Bible says, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Amen. In other words, he put up with the shame. He put up with the pain of the cross. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured that we might enjoy. We were the joy that was set before him. Jesus would see down the corridors of time. Praise the Lord. Yep. Jesus would see down the corridors of time. Listen to this. And there he would see you and I this morning at Wave Church, worshiping God freely, forgiven of our sins, redeemed, and the church of Jesus being strong and alive. So he endured for the joy that was set before him. My friends, you and I were the joy that was set before him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I don't know where some Christians have been, but somehow they think that being spiritual is about being heavy and religious and super spiritual. But no, no, no. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. I don't know where some Christians have been, but they need to go back. Some people go, I've been in the presence of God, and they look like they've been sucking lemons. All right, if you've been in the presence of God, would you do me a favor? Would you go back? I'll know when you've been in his presence because you'll have joy. In his presence, there's what? Not just a little joy. There's fullness of joy. This is not happy, clappy Christianity. It's not that there aren't challenges. The Bible says there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's not that there aren't weapons. It's not as if they're not formed against you. It's just they won't prosper. The joy of the Lord is your... Come on, church ought to be a place of celebration. I don't want to be the kind of church, and I don't want to go to the kind of church where you walk out heavier than you walked in. I want to make sure his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Amen. That people come into the house of God and they're encountering passion and life and joy and enthusiasm. In theos, in God. It's in God to be enthusiastic. It's in God to have a bit of life, a little bit of perk, a little bit of zip, a little bit of a buzz. A little bit Red Bull kind of Christianity. Amen. Listen, it is the will of God that the church ought to be enjoyed. I want people to come into church. I had a pastor visiting from San Diego this morning. And of course, pastors, when they visit churches, they visit it with an eye like nobody else. They're looking to see how friendly people are, how engaging they are. And he said to me, man, I came into your parking lot and there were smiling people out there in the parking attendants. And I got to the front doors and people looked me in the eye and engaged me in conversation. He goes, it was awesome. Well done. And I went, phew, praise God. There'd be nothing worse than coming to church and the parking attendant, you, over here. Imagine going to the kids' ministry. Yeah, quick, get your name signed up. Quick, yep, all right, get out of here. Who's next? Church ought to be a place of life. It ought to be a place of excitement. It ought to be a place where anything can happen, and it probably will. Come on, I don't want to be a part of the Us Four No More, Chosen, Frozen. Amen. So here's the thought. God's comfortable around you. So we talked about 2 weeks ago. God's comfortable. Jesus reclined at a table where there were prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. He was comfortable being around sinners. He made sinners feel comfortable being around him. Yeah. Amen. The Bible talks about not only was God comfortable around you, but we talked about how that we are supposed to help other people feel comfortable around being around us. We're not there to point out their sin and try to change them into something before God's ready to do the work that he needs to do. Let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit be God. You just come to God just the way you are. Amen? And then the last thought was, refuse to be a part of anything that yoke yourself to anything that's too hard or heavy. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. If you didn't listen to that message, you need to listen to it. If you didn't hear it, if you heard it 2 weeks ago, you ought to get the CD, because I actually thought if I say so myself, that was good preaching. I'd go to that church to hear that guy preach. Look what the Bible says here. I love this. It says in Psalm 66, verse 5, come and see the works of God. You see, in South Africa, God put it in my heart to do a series in our church for 3 weeks on He's the God of invitation. Come. God invites us. Everybody say, come. Come on, every campus. I want you to think about it. He says, come. I want you to think about there in Norfolk. I mean, God says, come. Come and see. That's why we're buying a building right in the middle of downtown Norfolk. Come and see the wonderful works of God. That's why we built a church here on Great Neck Road. We're putting it somewhere prominent where people can see it, not in some back block. That's why we're down there on Seaboard Road. Because let me tell you, 15 years ago, Seaboard Road was the boondocks. But not anymore, my friends. We're right there in the middle of the growing population of the city of Virginia Beach. Come! And see the marvelous works of God. Thank God we don't belong to some dead religion where you got to wear holy underwear. Amen. Where it's not just bells and smells and smoke and incense. Thank God we're not part of something where you got to talk to Allah and Allah decides whether you've been worthy enough and how you got to treat, you know, bow down and face Mecca. Thank God we belong to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. He said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Come. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God's willing to reason with you. Amen. Look at this scripture, the one I want to talk about today, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, all who are thirsty. Amen. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Praise God. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine. Oh, quick, let's take that word out of the Bible. Surely that's not in the Bible. And milk, and without money, and without cost. Here's a couple of thoughts I want to give you this morning. He's the God of invitation. It's a party and you're invited. Are you hearing me? God invites us. Here's my question for you. When was the last time you invited somebody? I mean, when it's lunch break, where do you go? Do you go off by yourself because you've got nothing in common with all those people who are not Christians? Because God's called you to reach those people. God's comfortable around them. You better get comfortable around them. And you better make them feel comfortable being around you, not trying to point out all their wrongdoings and all their sin and what's wrong with them. I don't like it when Christians get mean. I really don't like it. I just don't think it's God. You know, I mean, people get mean. Around this time of year, we try to win a political argument as to whose side God is on. Is God a Republican or is he a Democrat? God's neither a Republican or a Democrat. God's not even American. He's our Father. I know that shocks some of us. What? But he's not. And we're not going to win people to God through a political argument. And we're not going to win people to God by trying to point out what's already wrong with them. We already know. Amen. The Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. I'm so glad that when people talk to me about Jesus, when I didn't know him, I didn't need someone telling me that my life was, you know, errant. My life, I already knew my life was jacked up and I knew my life was messed up. But let me tell you something. It was people who showed kindness. It was people who I could not argue. I knew this person before and now I see them after they've given their life to Jesus and no doubt their life changed. And no doubt I wanted what they have. Amen. And when I met God for myself, it was the kindness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. God saw past my sin and he pulled out of me what he created me to be. There was something about the deep things of God calls to the deep things of man. So here's the first thought I want to give you. God invites us to come to him empty-handed. Right. Yeah. Listen to it again. Look at the Bible says. Listen to it. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. So God says, listen, come to me empty-handed. I started thinking about that. What could we give God anyway? Like God says, I don't need your money. How many of God does not need your money? You might think, well, you know, I got money. That's cool. God doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The streets in heaven are paved with gold. You think you can buy your way to heaven? You can't. God doesn't need your money. Come empty-handed, God says. Amen. And so I thought, well, what could we give God? If we were going to give God anything, what could we give God? You say, well, you know, I'm going to give God, you know, what I've made. But God says, yeah, but what you made out of what I made. It was already mine in the first place. It's like a good thought, isn't it? So I thought, what could we give God? You know, and I thought, there's probably only one thing that we could give God that he doesn't already have. And that is our free will worship. God does not demand that from us. He did not make us robots. Yeah. Amen. It is our decision whether we will or whether we will not worship him. And God seeks worshipers. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 100 verse 2. I love this psalm. Let's put it in there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Well, how many know in the Bible God blesses us? Genesis 12, he said to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Come on. So, you know, God blesses us. Jabez prayed, Lord, let me be free from harm. Bless me. So God blesses us. God blessed Isaac. He blessed Jacob. He blessed many people throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. Who's ever been blessed by God with a house? And you're believing God for a house, and God blessed you supernaturally with favor to get the house that maybe in the natural wasn't possible. Who's ever blessed by God for your husband or your wife? You better put your hand up right now if you're married in Jesus' name. I mean, thank God for the partner, that life partner God gave you. You're blessed. With health, you're blessed. With a job, you're blessed. And God provides those things. Your children, you're blessed. Blessed is the man whoever is quiverful. In other words, having kids is a blessing. You're blessed. We live in the United States. Of all the countries you could have been born, you were born here, not somewhere else. You're blessed. Blessed. God's blessed us. But did it ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you that you could bless God? Because this psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, your free will worship blesses God. You can make God's day just by making a decision to bless him. For all the blessing God gives us, let me tell you, the psalmist here says we can make God's day just by our worship. That's why it's so important when you come into the house of God, you don't come in indifferent and passive, but the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. It's not some trite little, all right, we're getting through the song service to get to the main event. No, no, no. This is an opportunity for you to bless the Lord. And with everything that's in you. Not like looking around, seeing who's here and, you know, just figuring out who you're going to talk to afterwards. No, no. You come and you say, Lord, I'm going to bless you today. In my free will worship, I'm going to stretch my hands that little higher. I'm going to sing that little bit louder. There's nothing we can give God, but one thing we can give him he doesn't already have is your worship and your praise. Come on, somebody give him a praise right now. it ever occur to you, you can make God's day? Man, I tell you, I'll never forget the day our grandson was born. I can't remember a feeling of blessing like that in a long time. When I looked at this little baby boy, we'd been waiting for him forever. I think Alyssa was 9 months overdue. It felt like that. And I remember there he was in the hospital. And I tell you something, I've been changed. I've been changed by this little guy and the blessing he makes in my life. And I just started thinking, God, when I praise you, that's how you feel. When I give you my worship, Lord, that's how you feel. Isn't it cool to think you can bless God? God, the all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God, the God who needs nothing, the God who made everything, that actually that God, the God of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Land, the bright morning star, the one who demons tremble in his presence, at the sound of the Lord, the hills melt like wax in the presence of God, that God who defeats his enemy, who's gone out before us, you can make his day. What? You can bless him. What? You can make God's day. Get out of here. Yeah. You can bless him. Shut up. No, I'm serious. You can bless him. If you bless the Lord all your soul, bless the Lord all my soul, and all that is within me. Why did God make mankind? I started thinking about that. Why did God even make us? And of course, I know fundamentally, theologically, I understand anthropology. I understand all that's involved in Scripture about the doctrine of man and sin and the fall of mankind. I understand all that. I'm not trying to preach all that, but I'm just trying to give you this one simple thought. Why did God make us? Like, was God having a bad day? Dang, I'm lonely. I need some people. I'm tired of myself. I'm not too sure. I like me, but I'm too sure about Jesus. You know, was God having a bad day? Was he having a bit of a fallout with the Holy Spirit? Like, what was happening? So why did, God said, let us make man in our image. Was God needy? Did God need something? Was there a social need? Like, why did he make us? I started thinking, well, why did God make us? And, you know, was he needy? Was he not complete in himself? And, you know, did he have a social need? But God made us because he is social. It's not that he had a social need. But listen to what God said. Listen to the intentionality of what God said. Let us, talking to himself, being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was not there as a singular entity. There was the Trinity coming and having a conversation. God said to himself and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, come on, let us make man in our image. So we're made to be in the image of God. Now, God is not singular. God is in community. We heard him say it. Let us make man. So God created us to be in his image, which is not just by ourselves isolated, but to be in community. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. In other words, we were made to be, we're created to be in community. So God never called you to be alone. Are you hearing this? You were created in the image of God. God made man because he is social. He doesn't, listen to this, your worship is everything to God. Amen? He made us because he is social. We're made in the image of God. Look what the Bible says in James 4. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In other words, God made the first move. Jesus, the Bible says, was slain before the foundations of the world. But if you draw near to God, let me tell you, he will draw near to you. He made the first move, my friend. Are you hearing me? And as he made that first move, now you draw near to him. He's already drawn near to you. He's already close. To say that God is near is to say that he's too far away. Come on, somebody needs to write that down. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 104. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. And I will enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and give praise to his name. There's only one thing we can give to God. God says, come to me empty-handed. I don't need your money. But one thing you can do is you can bless God. And you can enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. You can enter. Some people see worship as a part of the service. Is it even necessary? Well, when you think about you and yourself, maybe it isn't. Are you hearing me? But actually, when you get your eyes off yourself and you realize when we come into the house of God with our faith to praise God, it actually opens heaven over other people's lives. I don't know about you, but some of the most powerful times I've ever had in church has been in the middle of worship, where the Holy Spirit drops a thought into me, gives me a picture of something to come. Can I just encourage you? Come on. One of the best things you can give to God is your free will worship. Amen. And give, I would bless the Lord, oh my soul, with all that is within me. Not 7 minutes late into the service. Come on, but from the very get-go, I'm going to give God my very best. And I'm going to open heaven for those around me who I don't even know who they are. But Lord, as I bless you in the name of Jesus. Here's the second thought I want to give you. It's a party and you're invited. God invites those who recognize their need. I want you to hear this. Isaiah 55, this is the verse we're working off. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. God invites those who recognize they have a need. Amen. Do you know the most, when you are complete in yourself, you are never more deceived. When you think you have, I remember this guy back in Australia. He's one of Australia's most wealthiest people. His name's Rene, I forget his last name. I think it's Ripken or something. And he was a very successful stockbroker in Australia. Very, very wealthy, billionaire. And a friend of mine went to him. And she was raising some finances for the youth ministry of the church we were a part of. And she went to him because he was a very successful stockbroker and said, look, I'd just like to ask you for some money. This man doesn't believe in God. And he actually is really, to all intents and purposes, an atheist. And he says, so you've come to me asking me for money. And she said, yeah. He goes, well, I'll give you money as long as you admit I'm God. And she looked at him and said, excuse me? He goes, well, if your God was real, you wouldn't need to come to me. So clearly I'm God. So if you admit I'm God, I'll give you money. And she goes, I'm sorry, I talked to God just this morning. He looks nothing like you. And he talks nothing like you. And I will never admit that you're God. You know, even that man, for all his wealth, he said, this is what he said, I have no need. But the person who says, I have, some people say, I've met several people who are billionaires. And I've met them and they say, I don't have any need. And I'm going, you, my friend, are perhaps the most neediest person I've ever met. You need a bigger heart. You need a bigger vision. You need to open your eyes to the needs around you, that if you just make life all about what you do or don't need, you're a very selfish man. You're a very self-centered person. That I'll take you to where I go in Soweto. I'll take you to Alexandria. I'll take you to places I've been in Romania. I'll take you to places around the world where there's such poverty. My friend, you just need a bigger heart. You need to open your eyes. You need to see what's happening in our own city right here in Hampton Roads. What's happening in North Carolina. What's taking place right now in Norfolk and in Richmond. What's happening in Los Angeles. Plenty of people don't know Jesus yet who's shooting up drugs in their veins and committing suicide. My friend, there's a lot of need in this area. When you think you have no need, you're the most neediest person of them all. Amen. But God invites those who recognize they have a need. If you're thirsty, come to me. If you're self-sufficient, I can't help you. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 14, verse 2. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable things. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there's anyone who understands or those who seek God. You see, my friend, if you say you have no need, you're the most neediest person of them all. Come on, somebody say amen. See, here's the bottom line. We are created by God, who says fulfillment and satisfaction only comes from by being connected to other people. Come, let us make man in our image. Come on, someone say amen. Look what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12. People say, I don't need anybody. People say, I don't need a church. I don't need some pastor. I don't need some church. I don't need a religious organization to go to. I can just watch, you know, church myself. I can watch a TV preacher. I can just do that. I can find God all for myself. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You got to put yourself and your family, your finances in the one place that hell won't prevail against. That's the building of his church. I'm so glad you're watching online. I welcome you. I'm glad to have you with us. And this is the first step. But my friend, watching on television, watching online, you need a church. You say, I don't need it. My friend, you need it. You are need. God invites those who recognize their needs. God created us in His image. He didn't call you to be alone, sitting there depressed and lonely. He didn't call you to be self-sufficient and self-centered. He called you to be engaged in the image and the likeness of God and do community and live in community and make a difference in people's lives. Come on, somebody say amen. Last night, Sharon and I went down the street and just with all the trick-or-treaters. Man, some of the friendliest people in the neighborhood. Some Christians would never do that. I bind you in the name of Jesus. It's demonic. No. I walked down the street. There are hundreds of kids on the street. Some of the friendliest people, people we'd never met before. And you should have seen a couple of houses. Man, they're having a party. And they'll go, you know, hey, would you like a beer? Man, but I had so many beers last night, I couldn't walk home. I tell you, it was... Well, that's not true. I didn't do that. Actually, Sharon helped carry me home. Well, that's not true either. Actually, I didn't have any beer. But let me tell you something. How friendly is that? How friendly is that? Would you? And I said, no, thanks. I don't drink beer. Wine, that's a different story. But beer, I don't drink. Here's the bottom line. Look at me, my friend. Come. Right. You know, the accent. Where are you from? I'm from Australia. What are you doing here? Pastor of church. Oh, a couple of them said, you're the guy on television. I watch you every week. Now that I've met you, I'm going to come. And I'm going, please come. I'd love you to come. But they would never have even met me if I didn't go to them. When was the last time you reached out to someone who's unchurched? Well, I don't like being around those non-Christians. That's the problem. Amen. Do you have, and I, you know, one person said, man, you're so much better looking in live than you are on TV. And I said, I thought we're going to have to talk to our makeup people and do a better job with this. Come on. Come. Come. When was the last time you went to someone? Jesus sat at a tax collector's house. Prostitutes, sinners, strippers. Come on. And you're not condoning their lifestyle. But you're reaching out. You're there. And when was the last time you invited somebody to be in church? See, God invites those who recognize they have a need. We're created to be in community. See, my friends, that's what this is about. This little Grinch card here, there's thousands of these. I hope there is. Out there in the foyer. They're not here to sit on the church desk. They're here for you to take. And take it to work and leave them on every person's desk that you work around. Where you go and maybe to get lunch and leave them on the counters. Leave a stack of them on the counters in the gym that you work out in. If you work in a bank, if you're allowed to, put it on the counter, put it on the window, let people see. And we're inviting people. Come on, come. Come on, there's room. Amen. There's a lot of people. I could not imagine trying to do life without the church. God created the church to create community. Let us make man in our image. Talk to someone this week who's going through the most unexpected, unfortunate situation, and this beautiful couple are now going to find themselves separated for a season, quite a lengthy season, to be honest with you. And it's regrettable beyond words. And sitting there with this beautiful wife who's just been married for a few short years, now with the reality her husband will not be with her. And I remember at the end of all that, I looked at the two of them and I said, look at me, listen to me, you will not do this alone. You have a church that's going to be with you, and we're going to be your friends, and we will be there. You have my word. You will not do this alone. We will be with you, and we will love you through the bad season, and you've been good, and we want you to know that you are loved. I don't know how people could survive without a church. I don't need a church. I don't need an all-guy Bible study. You're the most needy person I've ever met in my life. You need community. Amen. And here's my last thought, because my time is up. I got 3 minutes and 30 seconds. God has what we really need. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. You can come to Him empty-handed. Come to Him, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. All you have to do, look at me, is come. Amen? The payment in full is by your attending. The payment in full is just by your participation. Just by you being there, just by you accepting the invitation. People say, how do I join Wave Church? You just did. Yeah. Amen. Just come. You're a part of the house. Get on the journey. Get be a part of the one. We don't have rules and regulations to be a member of Wave Church. Just come. Just come. Amen. We try to get people to cut their hair and get rid of their tattoos and stop doing this and stop that. You just come just the way you are. Come empty-handed. Amen. Some people say, well, when I have kids, kids need religion, then I'll come to church. My friend, your kids need Jesus, and so do you. And religion will never be the answer. You need Jesus. Amen. Come, the roof hasn't fallen on me, hasn't fallen on you. Amen. God's grace and God's love, and you just come just the way you are. Well, when I get these habits out of my life, then I'll come. Because if people knew who I really was, I'd be too ashamed. Hey, church is full of hypocrites, and there's room for you. Oh, I know some of you don't like me preaching like that, but that's okay. All you have to do is come to Him. He's the source of supply. People try it with alcohol. People try it with drugs. People try it with money. People try to, their supply is in maybe their job and their confidence. Man, I've heard some people say, I'd love to go to church, but man, I work, 6 days a week. I only get Sunday off. Hey, why don't you come? Stop using your job as an excuse. Amen. But we got to make church a place of excitement. We got to make church more exciting than the football. And I actually think it is. Because when you think about a football, think about it. It's a piece of leather. Is that right? That's all it is. A piece of leather, piece of cowhide, whatever it is. Inside of it, there's a little bladder. Is that right? Some sort of little bladder. I don't know. What's a pig's bladder? All right. So people are getting excited about a piece of leather and a pig's bladder. And they're cheering when somebody gets the ball and gets it. And don't get me wrong, I love football. You hearing me? I love baseball. Can we all be in prayer and fasting for the New York Mets? And I got to tell you, I cheer for baseball, but my greatest passion has always and will always be the house of God. I want to make sure I save my loudest praise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Some people try and do it with all sorts of means, but God is the source of supply. He is the source of supply. He says, come and buy. In other words, God says, come and interact. Who's ever bought something, and after you bought it, you thought, man, I got ripped off? Who's ever done that? Can I see a show of hands? Man, I remember one time, I'm not the most mechanical person in the world. I feel like I failed my two sons. They brought these little wooden ships and said, Dad, can we put this together and assemble it? The only problem is I am the most mechanically challenged person you'll ever meet in your life. I can't put together anything. I am incompetent to say the least. If I try to hammer a nail, it will be crooked into a wall. I am pathetic. It's embarrassing to tell you how bad I am. I remember one time I determined I am a good landscape gardener. I worked in the Botanic Gardens in Sydney, the Auburn Botanic Gardens. I looked after rainforest, woodlands, Japanese gardens, and I loved that. Man, there's nothing like cutting grass. And nobody can cut the grass like you can cut the grass. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And yet not smoking the grass, cutting the grass. There's a big difference between the two. And I'd look back and say, man, but when someone else cuts it, it looked like they were smoking grass the way they cut it compared to how I'd cut it. And so I'm good at that. I know landscape gardening. I am. I got that. I can do that. So I brought a fertilizer spreader. And it said, some assembly required. I got that. And I opened it up. And apparently you got to put the handle and attach it to the other part of the wheels. And so I'm trying to put it together. And I'm going, these stupid people drilled the holes in the wrong places. So I'm trying to assemble it, and it wouldn't assemble. So I go and get a drill, and I said to Sharon, I need a drill bit. And she goes, what do you need a drill bit for? I said, they didn't put this thing together properly. I've got to drill my own holes. She's going, Steve, you might want to read the instruction. But what would the instruction mean? It's in Japanese anyway. And so, I get my drill, and I'm drilling all these holes, and I go to assemble it, and it doesn't work. And I felt so ripped off, like, oh, now I got to go back to the store and get a refund, but I've drilled holes in this one. How am I going to explain that now? And then I went, oh, flip, wait a minute. And I realized I had the whole thing upside down. And when I turned it the other way around, they all fit so easy on the holes that they'd pre-drilled. And who's ever bought something and felt ripped off? God says, come buy from me without food, without money. He'll never rip you off. He'll never leave you feeling shortchanged. You see, my friends, He is the source of supply. And I just want to ask us a question as I close out this teaching for today. When was the last time you invited someone? When was the last time you engaged in community? Think about it at work, in the gym, wherever it is that you do. When was the last time you really sought to bring people into the house of God? I know I'm talking to a soul-winning church. I know people get saved every week in this church, but I'm still talking to us. In South Africa, I felt the Lord said, Steve, tell them I'm the God of invitation. And they let us make man in our image. We should be inviting people constantly. When was the last time you brought somebody? When was the last time you invited someone? When was the last time you got in someone's world and just lived in their world for a moment in Jesus' name? Amen? Do you receive the word? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, you can do better than that. Every campus, Norfolk, Richmond, we love you guys. Wilson, man, I love it. Greenville, don't you love it? Don't you love the fact that we are all over the place? We are here, but we are there in the name of Jesus. Los Angeles, man, I love Los Angeles. Seaboard Road, what God is doing on Seaboard Road. Praise the Lord. It stopped and now it's moving again. Look at that. It's like I'm, no. No, it's okay. I won't say it's like I was levitating, but I wouldn't say that because that would be wrong. That would be New Age. Praise the Lord. I felt like I was floating. That's what I felt like. Amen. Sorry, you should live in this head. It's a scary place. You'd be proud of me if you knew all the things I didn't say that I thought about. I'm telling you, you had no idea. Praise God. How many don't even want to go there right now? Just move on, Pastor. Amen. I'm going to hand the services back. But before I do, I think it was in church news in this service. I'm preaching tonight. And what I'm preaching tonight on, I want you to hear this, is what can you see? Because you can have whatever you see. The only challenge is that, is you'll have whatever you see. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the eyes are the window to the soul. Amen? And so whatever you're looking at is what's in your future. Think about that, because that's pretty positive. But it's also pretty compelling to make sure we're looking at the right things. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you see? When you see the church, what do you see? When you see your bank account, what do you see? When you see your marriage, what do you see? When you see your job, what do you see? When you see your income, what do you see? When you see the news, what do you see? Amen? Some of you need to stop watching the news, by the way. And some of you need to sit down. I'm not saying you don't have a right for expression of you know, opinion about political persuasions. But when you demonize another person to elevate your candidate, you just need to dial it down. Amen? And we need to be thanking God that people are even standing for election. And we need to realize that God is the judge. Ultimately, He is the judge. Amen? And we don't see our point of view won by demonizing somebody else. I have strong opinions. I just don't express them publicly. Because I want to make sure people come to Wave Church, they feel like they, whether Republican, Democrat, or Independents, this is, we won't be that. Amen? We'll reach out to politicians. We'll embrace them. And we'll engage in community. Amen? But I want everybody to feel like you can worship God here and be whatever you want to be and have whatever opinion. But when you go to a connect group and you start arguing politics and pushing your point of view, and there's somebody with an opposing point of view, and you just shut them down, then I don't believe that's the community God intended for us to have. Can you say amen to that? And we got to be willing to respect other people's opinions. I thought that's worth clapping right there, by the way. I honestly do think that's worth clapping. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be out there supporting who we want to support, but let's not do that for pulling one down. In Jesus' name. I don't like this election, by the way. I don't like it. I'm watching what's happening between Wagner and McCollum, the two of them, the way they speak about each other. I just go, please stop that. Stop that. Stop telling us how good you are by making the other person look bad. You have me here? Tell us who you are. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. That's the kind of thing they need to hear from the church. Just a thought. Amen. Well, I'm going to hand back to all the different campus pastors. You guys come on back. My time, I've taken more time than I should have this morning. Praise the Lord. It's the first Sunday of the month. Praise the Lord. And they're going to talk to people about Jesus. And I want to talk to you about Jesus. See, God says, come. Did you hear me? He says, come. Come just the way you are. Don't say, well, when I get myself together, when I get that habit, you know, when I get married, when I have children, when I get old.
Because some people think, I used to think church is for old people and children. Old people who are afraid they're about to die, that they would, you know, if there is a heaven, they better go there. That's what I thought. When I was 17, I went, you know what? Church is for everybody. Jesus is amazing. I'm so glad my friend Jerry Keane said, Steve, come to church. I'm so glad when I told him no 100 times, he didn't take no for an answer. He kept telling me, you need to come, you need to come, you need to come. And finally, I came, if for no other reason, other than to shut him up. I just was sick of him. He wouldn't stop. Can we be those sorts of Christians who really believe this message we live, this church we're a part of, is really life and it is death. It is heaven and it is hell. Amen? And people are living hellish lives outside of God, and they need to be part of a community. Let us make man in our image.